This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, Julian Ng, myself, Sharad Kutin, with the top business stories of the day. And let's look at the ringgit. Of course, it's an obsession of all Malaysians because it fills our pockets, or for some, doesn't fill it enough. So, but whether you have wads of ringgit in your pocket or not, Julian, I guess the issue is how much is it worth?
Yeah, I think the latest number is about 448.05, and it's one of the lowest levels, they say, since the Asian financial crisis in 1998. And this is something that hangs over our head like a specter, because 1998 represented some very dark times. I think most of us went through it. And the question now is whether we're going through this again. The ringgit has fallen more than 6% since the Trump victory. We call it the Trump tantrum. Some people call that a Trump tantrum.
Yeah. I mean, one of the interesting things for people who didn't live through those times or lived through those times as children, perhaps, is that it also came together with a political crisis in Malaysia. So we had a general upheaval, right?
In other places too, Indonesia, in Thailand.
Yeah, so it was really... Now, of course, the ringgit's fall to this level isn't accompanied with such a crisis. At least it's not apparent in quite the same way. And perhaps we're just looking at a new normal. We're just looking at the ringgit hovering in this, in this level for some time yet, and we just have to get used to it.
I think it's really going to boil down to very much to bread and butter issues, and we know that many of us have children studying overseas, so those costs of education have gone up 20-30% over the last year or so, and that's very painful. A lot of the stuff that we consume, our clothes, our food, what have you, our cars, transportation and so on, all denominated a lot of it in foreign currency. So we'll feel the pain there as well. And as far as politics is concerned, I guess it's not destabilizing like in 1998, but politicians have come out to try to calm the nation. We have the second finance minister, Dato' Johari Abdul Ghani, saying, don't panic, because panic wouldn't help anything. I guess, it just doesn't address and hit the nail on these bread and butter issues, this kind of statement.
Yeah, I think the problem, of course, with a statement like that is it assumes that people follow instructions. So if this was meant as an instruction, like don't talk about this or don't panic, all these things that politicians try these days, politicians that are no longer the strong men of yesteryear, they really don't seem to have the kind of effect that they're looking for.
Not only would it not have an effect, but when you ask somebody not to panic, they will start panicking.
Right? They'll assume quite the opposite. What about the question of the kind of new normal for the ringgit? Julian, do you think that this is just a function of the price of oil that we produce as an oil producer and the general kind of grim economic climate globally?
I don't know if it's a new normal, but over the past few decades, we've seen the ringgit weaken quite a bit, about around to about a buck a decade, right? 250 to 350, now to 450. And the question is where this will go in the future. How many new normals do we have to go through? At the height of it is really people are asking whether this economy can be fixed. You got that survey by The Edge asking people whether and how the economy of Malaysia can be fixed. And I think the biggest percentage of people are clamoring for the ringgit to be strengthened so that some of the pain can be eased.
Yeah, that was certainly part of the survey, where the survey asked people if they could fix certain things in the economy. And just come back to, we have had economists speak about what's going on. They provide their own diagnosis. Jomo K. Sundram came out saying that confidence in the government was at a all-time low, and this was affecting the economy. We've now also had the IMF coming out to make statements, this time regarding productivity.
This World Bank, actually.
Sorry, World Bank.
Yeah. Rafael Munoz Monero, World Bank senior economist for Malaysia, saying that forget about employment growth, focus more on productivity growth, and that's the thing that's going to get us higher income. I think a lot of economists are also saying that the ringgit is not alone in this great big weakness since Trump. It's more the strengthening of the US dollar, and we continue to see a lot of money pouring into the US dollar and providing problems for not only Malaysia, but China as well. And China now has got to go through the kind of capital controls that we saw perhaps in 1998 and perhaps may echo some of Bank Negara actions in the forcing conversion of export proceeds over the last few weeks. China now is saying that you need approval to take any monies more than $5 million out of the country. And also, if you have any subsidiaries, even if you're a Chinese company, any affiliates overseas, you can't just so easily transfer money to those affiliates. More like a kind of capital control that's being imposed by China.
I mean, $5 million sounds like a very high threshold, though.
$5 million. Actually, no, but it could be an annoyance and inconvenience.
Okay, so more on the question of, you know, comparing to a free flow, you have now controls and maybe some bureaucracy to deal with.
Yeah, and I think this has to be looked at in light of how China wants to liberalize the economy further. And I don't know whether the US dollar's advance would roll that back a little bit. A lot of investors are already asking that question of whether China's will continue with this liberalization path. It is important, but you know, this big speculative wave, we know that the money of hedge fund managers or forex traders can far outpower the financial resources of nations itself. So you know, people like Bank Negara, Bank of China, you know, and other, I'm sure, central banks around the region and around the world, emerging markets especially, they're questioning whether they should pander to these speculative requests on their currencies, right? Or whether they should focus on trade and on the real economy. These are very tough questions to answer.
I think one of the big questions for the future is, you know, how sustainable is China's growth? And so much hinges on it, including China's ambitions in the South China Sea, for instance. We know because the latest news was America's parked stealth fighters in Australia, making Australia the front line of its, you know, fight with China over South China Sea. Also, we know that China's been giving money away, or a lot of third world countries are planning their development around Chinese aid. You know, we just had the news of Pakistan and its energy needs now being boosted by Chinese money, you know, to the tune of billions. So, you know, Pakistani ambitions then, you know, leverage on the assumption that China is going to grow and will have this cash to dole out.
Another country joining the China checkbook diplomacy. And China is a country with trillions of dollars of reserves. I think over $3 trillion. So that's a formidable reserve size. And yet, you know, its currency is still subject to speculative attack. In fact, this currency, the yuan, the renminbi, has fallen to a 6 or 7 year low. 8 year low, actually. And so far this year, fallen by more than 6%, kind of on par with how much the magnitude of the ringgit has fallen. And the bond traders over there also selling a bond and resulting in a rout of about 86 billion. Resulting in a big rout over there, and the government has found itself to inject some money into the bond market.
Now, talking about trillions, I don't know how many zeros that is, but you know, the more zeros there are, the more difficult it is to read numbers. And I think that might segue into the next story, which has to do with Indonesia's central bank reviving plans to cut 3 zeros from the rupiah.
Now, here is a country whose currency has been quite stable since the Trump tantrum. Can I still use that word, Trump tantrum?
He's now officially the electoral college.
President-elect.
He is now moving into president territory.
Yeah, much to the chagrin of Joe Biden, I guess he's going to move into that White House. But Indonesia, they are cutting off 3 zeros from their rupiah. And the Bank Indonesia Senior Deputy Governor Mirza Aditya Aswara said that this denomination is a matter of simplification.
Right, so redenomination is the expression, right? And so this is very different from what's happened in India, what we see happening in Venezuela, the Venezuelan government struggles to find its footing in terms of its own currency policy.
So you got to get your D's right. That's demonetization. They're taking currency out of the system.
Yeah, and this is denomination, right? So are there strong economic reasons to do this, or is this purely a question of aesthetics?
Yep. So the deputy governor came to explain, and he said that this currency would not reduce purchasing power, would not prompt currency volatility, and should have minimal impact on inflation. It's just to make things easier. I guess as a Malaysian going to Indonesia now, you can divide by 3 rather than 3,000. And recall that they attempted to do this a while back, but because the market was in turmoil, they had to put that off a bit, and now they are popping up this idea again. Also, is Zimbabwe, right? You know, Zimbabwe is a currency, the Zimbabwe dollar. They have a $10 trillion Zimbabwe note.
Is there enough space on the note to actually put all those
zeros?
No,
there isn't. Very precious real estate there on the paper. The paper is probably worth more than currency because that's $10 trillion is equivalent to 40 US cents. So there you go. That's a currency that probably needs to have a few zeros taken off.
Okay, we'll be back after the news with the opening numbers on the stock market and more analysis. You're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.